Okay, we are holding on Tzadik Hei Omer Aleph. About two-thirds of the way down the Omer, the fourth line of the wide line. Yesterday, the Gemara had started discussing the issue. So the Mishnah had talked about the idea that a man's wife goes overseas. He hears that she's dead. Parallel case then to the beginning of the parak, where it was the other way around, that the woman heard her husband had died. So he goes and marries her sister. And then it turns out that his wife's alive. Now his sister is an heir to him. So we talked about the consequences, but one consequence that does not happen, the Mishnah had said, his own wife does not become osur to him. And we discussed the pros and cons of that. So we said actually that it's based on a pasuk, oisa, that only she herself, that only a woman herself becomes posel from his nus, not if his nus was done with her sister. In that connection, the Gemara had brought, why do we need that pasuk? Because otherwise we might have thought to make a kavah chayis. We would say that in the case you have an isur kal, in a case where someone has relations with an isur kal, which now the Gemara is going to discuss what is the isur kal in that connection. Neser ha'oser, the one who originally made her oser to others himself becomes oser. Then in the case of an isur chomer, namely this case of a chos ishtoi, shouldn't it be all the more so that having had relations with the sister, how much more so maybe you would think his wife should be oser, and that's why we need the pasuk oser to tell us that now. So now we've got to figure out what is the isur kal.
Personally, to whom the isur was done?
In an isur kal, what we're saying is that the one who made you oser in the first place now becomes oser. Well, we're going to end up saying that it's the husband, right? We have to go through a few possible scenarios. So here where it's an isur chamor, how much more so the one who makes the sister also? What makes her also? The fact that you were married to her sister. The fact that you were married to Rachel is what makes Leah also to you. So how much more so then we should argue that Rachel should be also once you had relations with Leah? And that's why we need the pasuk oisa to tell us that now. So we have to figure out the isur chamor we know, obviously, is the wife's sister. What is the isur kal that we're trying to use for this kal v'chomer? My isur kal. Omer of Chista, Machzugur Shaseh Mishanisis. The Isur Kal would be the case of somebody who remarries his wife, his divorcee, his ex, after she married somebody else, a case which we've talked about already a few times in the Masechta.
Simple love.
Right. Now, what do we mean? So how would the Kal V'chomer work? Ba Lahai Osra Alei Dahai. So she was originally married to Reuben. Then she divorced Reuben and married Shimon. We're saying when Shimon has relations with her, then it asks her to Reuben. And vice versa, bala idoch aser alei dehai. And conversely, what happens if after having been married to Shimon, she then remarries Reuben, which is aser? She's not allowed to do that. But if she now remarries Reuben and has relations with him, well, she becomes aser to Shimon because it's the same problem with machzor gudashasa mishanisis. So that's what we're saying then. So that would be the argument then. We would say that case, which is only an isur kal, we say that neser ha'oser, the one who made you oser in the first place, now, which is the original husband, now becomes oser himself. Not the original husband, the second husband, is the oser. He's the one who, because she was married to him, she had become oser to her first husband, to Reuben, because of that. And now we're saying if Reuben himself has relations with her, then it asks her on Shimon. So how much more so we should say in the case of achos ishtei?
And that's why we need the pasuk.
Right. The problem with that is, with that explanation, mala machzor gerushasa mishanisis shekein nitma haguf. The problem is, how can you compare? The case of machzor gerushasa is different. There, you might say there's more of a chumra. It's not just an isur kal. True, it's only a lav, but on the other hand, there's a certain chumra to it. Shekein nitma haguf. She herself became tomei by having relations with somebody with somebody else after her husband. Where we're saying, as the pasuk uses the expression, achrei asher utamah, the isur beroiv, and the isur applies in many. The isur applies in many different cases. Meaning, it's not just when you think about it, it's not just, for example, if she was married to Reuben and then married Shimon and became also to Reuben later on. It's not just if she remarries Reuben that she becomes also to Shimon. It's also if she marries Levi or Yehuda or anybody. So the issue can apply with many more people, as opposed to achos ishtei, where it's only your wife's sisters. And the issue is
oila. If that's okay, we would think have reasons to think.
So that's the point. In other words, that's more of a chumrah. These things are more chumras. The isur isur olam and third chumrah in Maksiv Nishasei, the isur applies forever. It's permanent, as opposed to Achos Ishto. Once his wife dies, he's mutter and her sister. So how could you make such? How could you even think to make such a kal vachomer that we need the pasuk to shlog it? Ela amar shlokish yivama. So no, Rish Lakish says the isur kal that we're talking about is a yivama. Now what do you mean the yivama lamar? Okay, yivama. Who is this yivama marrying? Are you talking about that she married somebody outside the family without having done Yibur Mechlitza? And we would say that the meaning is V'chidu Rav Hamnuna. The meaning would be like according to what Rav Hamnuna said. Da'amar Rav Hamnuna, we said this the other day, Shemeres Yavam Shezinsa Asur Yavama, that if she was Mizana and she is also to her Yavam, so you would argue the same idea. Then you'd argue the Kavachoyim would go as follows, that somebody has relations with an Isur Kal, then the oisir, the one who makes her also to everybody else, namely the yavam, is now himself also in her. Because why is she also to everybody else? Because she has a yavam. So how much more so we would argue in the case of achos ishtoi. Again, you have the same problem. Mal yavama shekein nitma aguf. Again, you have the same problem. A yavama, she herself has become tamei from an improper bia, as opposed to your wife in the case where you were mezana with her sister, she herself has not become tamei. And the isur applies to everybody else. Because again, there's not just one person in the world that she could have relations with that would make her also to the Yavama. It's anybody else outside the family.
So it doesn't compare.
Yeah. Ela Yavama la'achim. So no, let's say we're talking about the case of a Yavama where one of the brothers had relations with her in a way that it was usur. Namely, Obad b'maimer hai. So you have, she was originally married to Reuben. Reuben's dead. Shimon did Maimer with her. Osra alei dehai. So now he made her also Midrabanon. We said before that Maimer is Midrabanon. He made her also the Levi and Yehuda and the rest of the brothers. Baalei idach Osra alei dehai. And now if she does go and have relations with Levi, if she does attempt to do Yibum with Levi, she becomes also to Shimon, the one who did the Maimer.
That's just Midrabanon.
No, but that's the point. In other words, she, nevertheless, we're saying that, right. Okay, so that's a good point, the fact that it's Rabbanon. So Tosfos points out that we have to be going, if we're going to assume that this is the meaning of the Braisa, we have to say that Braisa is going according to the opinion of Beis Shammai that we said much earlier in the Masechta. Tosfos had understood Beis Shammai to say that Maimer is actually effective Doraisa. You're right, according to the Deus that explained Beis Shammai that it's only Rabbanon, or certainly according to Beis Hillel, then it wouldn't work. Anyway, the Kavachomer would go then as follows. In that case, Levi having relations with her makes her also to Shimon, and Shimon is the one because of whom she's also to Levi in the first place, because otherwise, if it hadn't been for the Maimer, she would have been mutter to Levi. So how much more so in the case of Achos Ishtei? Again, the problem is, Ovid b'maimer hai osra alei dehai. So the Shimon does maimer with her, that makes her also to Levi. Ba'alei idach osra alei, and when Levi has relations with her, that asks her to Shimon. The problem with that is ma'ir yishe ba'alei sheni. Why would you even need to mention davka the case with a second one where Levi had relations with her? Afilo ovid b'maimer, afilo ovid b'nami maimer. The same thing would work even if he just did Maimer, or Shimon did Maimer, and then Levi did Maimer. We said before that all the apostles are from Yibum with either one of them. The answer is Holei Kasha. That's not such a big problem, because we could say that the Braisa... Yeah, in other words, you're trying to... Yeah, well, basically, I mean, how can we use it? Yes. How could we use it for a Kavu Chomer, where we're trying to prove with Achos Ishtei? I mean, if you do Maimer to Achos Ishtei, it doesn't have any effect. So we see you don't need Bia. So we see you don't need Bia to make her author. So what's the relevance of it to Achos Ishtei? Why it's not even the same kind of thing? Until actual Bia has taken effect. But we're saying you don't need Bia. Maimer is good enough. The answer is Holei Kasha. That's not such a problem, because Kedam Gamliel. We could answer that the Braisa, that the Kavachleimer and the Braisa is going according to Kedam Gamliel, Drama Ein Maimer, Acha Maimer. We learned back in the fifth parak that Rav Gamliel held that if one brother does Maimer and then another brother does Maimer, the second Maimer has no effect, because the second Maimer is not any stronger than the first one. So there you go, then fine. You need actual Bia in order to pass over. Okay, but the problem is, Ela, Fila, Nothan, La, Get, Ba, Fila, Cholatzla. In that case, then, you have, even according to Rabban Gamliel, we said before that Rabban Gamliel does agree that yesh get acha maimer or yesh chalitza after maimer. If Levi were, if after Shimon did maimer, Levi were to give her get or do chalitza, that would also after to Shimon. Again, you don't need bia for the purpose, even according to Rabban Gamliel. So how does this, how are we trying to put together this kavah chaimer? Elam Rabbi Yechanan saita. So no, Rabbi Yechanan says, you know what the issur kal we're talking about over here is a saita, where the one who made her also to anybody else, namely her husband, the fact that she was married to her husband makes her also to everybody else in the world. Now when she had relations with the boyle, with her paramour, that makes her also to her husband. So that would be the kavachayma. We try
with suffix, isn't it?
No. So when we say saita, when the Gemara wants to call it a suffix, we call it suffix saita. When we use the word saita, it means one who we know. It's a, yeah. So the question is saita laman. Who are we talking about? Okay, who are we talking about that she's also to? Ilema labal. Are you saying that she becomes also to the husband? And are you saying that baal el baal asur alei debayol? Do you mean to say that after this saita, after she was mizana, if her, or maybe even possibly mizana, yeah, we're talking about, it could also be a case of suffix, where she's going to drink the mei saita, but are you talking about the case where afterwards, if her husband has relations with her, then he offers her to the boil? You don't need that. Mayu yabala, you don't even need that the husband had relations with her. After the nasa la get, after the oma inani mashke. The same thing would apply, even if he just gave her a get, because then once he gave her a get, he can never give her the saita water again. Or even if he says, "Ein ani mashke," I don't want to give you the drink. So Tosfos explains. The idea is what the Gemara is saying is he can't change his mind. If the husband says to his wife, "You know what? I don't want you to drink the soda water," then that's it. Then it becomes a permanent thing. He can never change his mind. Meaning, in other words, that's it. So then, therefore, they have to get divorced. And therefore, automatically, the rule applies that she is also to this person who she's suspected of having been unfaithful with. So that's what we'd be saying. So that, right, but that, because in other words, what's the part? When a woman is a suffix soita, she becomes also to her husband. She also becomes also to the suspected boyle, kashem shasur labal kachasur labal. How does that get resolved by her drinking the soita water and surviving? What we're saying is over here, if in between her husband divorces her, or he says, I don't want to give you the soita water to drink, then she's permanently also to him. She's also permanently also to this person that she's suspected of having relations with. So that's what we would be saying. So, but in other words,
she doesn't drink.
Right, no, because she doesn't drink. Because we don't have any way of proving her innocence. Right. The point is, though, in other words, we don't need her husband to actually have relations with her to make that impossible. It's true. If her husband has relations with her, then automatically that makes the soita water not going to work, because then he's not menukama oven. We learned this before. And then, therefore, automatically that makes that she'll remain also to the boil forever. But again, you don't even need him to have relations in order for that to happen. The same thing would be if he divorced her. So we're back to the same question. What's this kavah chaimer that we're trying to make that relies, what's the comparison that we're trying to make that relies davka on be'ila?
It's closer, though, than the previous case.
Yeah, but it's still not quite there yet.
It's not there.
Yeah. Ella soita laboyle. Are you going to say that you're talking about that the case that you're talking about that the soita becomes also to the boyle to the boyle himself? In other words, that the boyle having relations with her makes her also to her husband? The problem with that is, what do you mean? Isur kalu, isur chamaru, dainu eshes ish. It's an eshes ish. That's a very serious issue. How can you call it isur kal? Mele, if you're talking about, for example, the fact that she's also to her husband, that's only a lav. Achresh eutamos. But the eshes ish is a mizah. Ella amar Rava eshes ish. So no, Rava says, no, actually, we are talking about a case of eshes ish. When we say isur kal, we do mean eshes ish. But why do we call it isur kal? Because, as Gemara is going to say in a second, because there is a certain kula in it relative to achos ishtei. It's possible for this isur to be mutter while the husband still is alive, namely if he divorces her. If he divorces her, then she's no longer an eshes ish, as opposed to achos ishtei remains also as long as your wife is alive. No, in other words, right now she's also to everybody else as an eshes ish, but what we're saying is that isur is possible to undo. It's possible to make her mutter. It's possible to make her no longer usher by her husband divorcing her. So therefore,
then
she's allowed to marry whoever she wants. So to go back to the Kal V'chomer, then we're going like this. Umah b'mokam shebal isu kal, neser oiser. We're saying that somebody that somebody else, not her husband, has relations with her, and that makes her oser to the one who made her oser in the first place. In other words, why is she oser to this other man? Because she's married to her husband. And we call that an isur kal because it's possible for her husband to divorce her, and that she will be able to marry this guy. And yet we say her husband himself becomes oser to her. So how much more so we should argue in the case of achayis isha? And that's why we need the pasuk oiser to tell us that now.
And that stands.
V'chein ki oser Ravin, am Rabbi Yochanan. So also when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, eshes ish. That the isur kal of the braisa before means eshes ish. Well, my koral law is a kal. So why do we call it an isur kal? It's actually a very serious isur. Sheina isur, sheina oisur, oisur kol yama. Because the one who makes her oser, her husband does not make her oser for his entire life, because it's possible for him to divorce her, and then she's no longer oser. As opposed to achos ishtoi, where necessarily, as long as the wife is alive, even if you divorce her, her sister is still oser to you, and as long as she's alive, yeah.
Means
that there's an element of kalos, exactly. And Mepharshim explained that that's the verge. In other words, even though Eishes Ish has many different chumras in it, but the fact that it can be undone while the husband is alive makes it an isur kal. That itself outweighs all the other possible chumras.
And they hold
that. And they hold that. Yeah. We learned similarly in Braisa, Abachanan Omer Meshum Reb Elazar, Eishes Ish, that's what we mean by Isur Kal, we mean Eishes Ish. And so the Kavachomer goes as follows, Umah B'Mokam Abal Isur Kal, where we see that in a case where somebody has relations with an Isur Kal, namely an Eishes Ish, She'ina Oisru Oisru Kol Yomav, where it's Kal in the sense that her husband does not make her oser throughout his lifetime, because it's possible for him to divorce her. And yet, Neser Oyser, the one, her husband, who made her oser to everybody else, himself becomes oser to stay with her after she was mizana with somebody else. Yeah. So, Habal Isu Chamer, so if somebody has relations with an Isu Chamer, namely a wife's sister, Shal Oyser, Oyser Kol Yomav, his wife, who made her sister oser, the Isu lasts throughout her whole life. Ain't a dinish Neser Oyser, shouldn't it be a Kavachoyma that we ask of the wife? That's why we need the pasuk oisa. B'shachav ish oisa shichvasera, meaning oisa shichvasera. Only a woman herself who was mizana, then having then znus with her passels her to her husband. Then shchivat achoisa isarta, but znus with her sister does not passel her. And that brings us back to what we said in the Mishnah. Then, therefore, that in the case according to the Tanakama, anyway, we're going to discuss Rabbi Yosi. But according to the Tanakama, So the guy thought his wife is dead, and he went and married her sister. Now his wife turns up alive. Yes, the sister, of course, is also to him, and the children for her are mamzerim, etc. But the wife is mutter to stay married to him, because she didn't become also by him effectively being mizana with her sister, right?
That's what we learned from
Isa, right? Now, though, then the Mishnah continued, Rabbi Yosi, I am a kosher poitzer v'cholah. Rabbi Yosi had set a rule like this. Anybody who passels for others, passels for himself. Anybody who does not passel for others, does not passel for himself. So what exactly does he mean by that? But what does he mean? No, it's not. That's called, you think you call a poitzer b'mumay poitzer, that's something else. That's something else.
Call a poitzer passel?
No. My comment, Rabbi Yosi, what does Rabbi Yosi mean by this? Now, we did learn right after the Mishnah, the Gemara had talked about that there's one more possible wrinkle in this. We were assuming when we learned the Mishnah, we assumed that the sister, the one that the husband ends up marrying, thinking that his wife is dead, we were thinking that the sister herself is unmarried. Doesn't necessarily have to be that way, though. It could equally well be that she herself was married. So you have a brother-in-law involved also. And what happened is what happens if both your wife and your wife's sister's husband, say your brother-in-law, both of them went overseas, and you thought both of them were dead. The scenario you have over here, the scenario would be like this. So you had two unrelated men who were married to two sisters. One of the wives and one of the husbands goes overseas, and you hear that they were dead. So the other husband marries the other wife. Now, we're saying, what the Tanakhama is saying in the Mishnah is, Rachel, the original wife of Abraham, doesn't have a problem. The fact that you were Mizana with her sister doesn't answer her, as we just learned from Isa. On the other hand, Leah is going to be in the situation from the beginning of the Perek. She thought her husband was dead. She married somebody else. turns out she was wrong. Her husband's alive, and therefore you have all of the situation. She has all the penalties at the beginning of the parak. That she has to get a get from both of them, and her children from both of them are mamzerim, and then she loses her ksuba from both of them, and so on and so forth. So, are we talking about ilema dekama tanakama deozel ishti v'gisil imdinasayam? So, are we talking about that kind of case, that the tanakama is talking about a case where it was his wife and his brother-in-law who went overseas, and you thought they were dead? And the Tanakhama says Eishes Gisei Asira, so his sister-in-law becomes also to her husband because she married when her husband was alive. The Ishtei Sharia, but his own wife Rachel remains mutter because Ein Shkivas Achosa Isarta. Zeka Amalei Rabbi Yosi, and then Rabbi Yosi would be answering no, ki Eichad Ishtei Sharia Eishes Gisei Nami Sharia. No, Rabbi Yosi might argue the same way as your own wife Rachel was mutter. Maybe in this case we allow Leah to remain with her husband Yitzchak. And what would be the svara for that? The svara for that would be that maybe in that case we would say that what's one reason we said before why the woman becomes also to her original husband? Because she needs a get from the second husband that she married, and we said we needed that because people might think that it was a valid marriage. And then you have an issue. People are going to think that she was validly married the second time, and then that creates a problem with her first marriage. In this case, we would argue that maybe she doesn't. Maybe Leah does not need a get from Avraham, because everybody knows his wife's alive. Everybody knows you can't marry your wife's sister, so everybody's going to realize it was a toast. So maybe that's what Rabbi Yosi means in the Mishnah. Then, because Rachel is mutter to her husband, therefore we should also say that Leah is mutter to her husband. The problem with that is, Ihachi, then what's the language that Rabbi Yosi is using? When he says, Kosha ein posel aydechem, ein posel aydeatzvay, when he says, anybody who does not passel another man's wife does not passel his own wife as well, the causation is backwards. Kosha ein posel aydeatzvay, ein posel aydechem, he should have said the other way around. You're not passeling your own wife, therefore you're not passeling your sister-in-law either, to her husband. So the language in the Mishnah would be backwards. So it can't be in that case. Ve'ela, maybe it means the other way around. Kihechid de'eshes gisei asira ishtei nami asira. Maybe you would argue the other way around. Rabbi Yosi is saying, just like the sister-in-law is also to her husband, so your wife is also to you. Okay. Hotenach kol shepoisel. Okay, so that explains the first half of what Rabbi Yosi is saying. Any case where you're passeling somebody else's wife, because you married her thinking her husband was dead, and it turns out her husband, which is your brother-in-law, was alive, so she becomes also to her husband, so therefore also your wife also becomes also to you. So fine, that explains the first half of Rabbi Yosi's statement. Where is there a case where we're saying, though, that the second half of what Rabbi Yosi is saying, any case where you're not possibly the other woman, then you're also not possibly your wife, what would that case be? Now, Tosfos says, I mean, you could answer very simple. You could say you're talking about that Leah wasn't married. You're not passeling her because there's nobody to passel her to. But Tosfos says that's not the Lashon Kosha Ein Posel Aydei Acherim implies that there are Acherim who she might have been passeled to, and the Chiddush is that she's not. So what's the case? Amar Abami, Aresha. That second part of Rabbi Yosi's statement is actually going back to the first Mishnah, of the Perek. When we started discussing the cases, in the first Mishnah of the Perek, we discussed the case. We have the cases where one aide comes and says that the woman's husband is dead, and so she goes and so she gets permission from Beis Din to remarry, versus we said when two aidim came, where then you don't need permission from Beis Din, because two aidim is always acceptable. And the Mishnah said as follows, Nisus api Beis Din, Tetzei of Turim and Akorban. If she was married based on permission from Beis Din, then she has to get divorced. But she's potter from a korban because we looked the other day, she followed her Ross Beis Din. But because she followed her Ross Beis Din, and when you follow her Ross Beis Din, then you potter from a korban. But api Edim Tetzei Chayeves Bekorban. But if she was married Alpi Edim, where there were two Edim, then Tetzei, she has to divorce her second husband. She's allowed to go back to her first husband in that case, we said in the Mishnah. But she's chayiv in a korban because she wasn't toilet with Beis Din, because she wasn't relying on Beis Din's psak, because Beis Din didn't have to give her a psak. She was allowed to get married based on two Edim. And we said, Yofa koyachos Beis Din shepotrim in a korban. The koyach of Beis Din helps that it makes her pot, even though
Edim is stronger.
No, in a way, Edim are stronger, but in a way, Beis Din is stronger in that it passes her from a korban, yeah. Now you're going to say the Kama Tanakama Loishnapi Edim the Eishes Gisi Shaliyav Loishnapi based in the Eishes Gisi Asira. So the Tanakama would be saying as follows: that if it doesn't matter that it doesn't matter whether it was a case where there were two, again, so we're talking the scenario where both women were married to two different men, Abraham and Yitzchak over here. The Tanakama would be saying as follows: regardless of whether when Edim come and say that both Rachel and Yitzchak, your wife and your brother-in-law, both died overseas, so Loishna Alpi Edim, doesn't matter whether there were two Edim, the Eishes Gishes Shaliyah, where in that case we're saying that Leah is allowed to return to her original husband. She's also to Avraham, of course, but she's mutter to her original husband, Yitzchak. The Loishna Alpi based in the Eishes Gishes Asira, and or regardless of whether it was one aid and permission of based in which case Leah is also to her husband, Yitzchak. Either way, the Tanakhama would be saying Rachel is always mutter to Avraham. So then Rabbi Yossi is answering to that, no. Alpi based in, when it was Alpi based in, when there was only one aid to post Leideh Cherim, where then because you, Avram, went and married Leah, and you asked her to her husband, post Leideh Asmai, then also your wife becomes possible to you as well. But Alpi Edim, but where there were two Edim involved, where two Edim came and said that Yitzchak had died, the Eidim Posel Aydei Acherim, where then Leah does not become possible because you marry her, because she's allowed to return to her husband Yitzchak. Eidim Posel Aydei Asmai, then your own wife is also mutter to you.
So the Beis Din is weaker in this.
Right. Well, we're saying we've been saying throughout the parak that permission from Beis Din is weaker because it involves only one aid. The whole idea of one aid, he said, is Isha Daiko Mitzvah, that we allow one aid because we expect that the woman will carefully check out the situation before she goes and marries, and obviously in this case that broke down, so therefore we apply all the penalties, as opposed to what we said when there were two aidim, we said then, the truth is not, we said the other day that not all the poskim agree with that. There are poskim, we said, who hold that even in the case of two aidim, we still apply all the penalties. Obviously our Gemara is better understood according to the first explanation, But we could still say according to the other explanation that we're talking over here according to Reb Shimon, which the Gemara had established that according to Reb Shimon, if there was two Edim, then she's okay. Anyway, so that's Reb Ami's explanation of what Reb Yossi means in our Mishnah. The two halves of Reb Yossi's statement are actually not, he's not referring back to our, well, he is referring to our Mishnah, but he's also implicitly referring back to the first case, to the case at the beginning of the parak, that we tie together unlike the Tanakhama, who says that there's a difference between Rachel and Leah being mutter to their respective husband, Rachel is always mutter to Abraham, to her original husband. Leah may or may not be mutter to Yitzchak, depending whether there's one or two aidim. Rabbi Yossi is saying no. You tie those two things together. If it was one aid, then both of them are also to their husband. If it was two aidim, then both of them are mutter to their husband. Rabbi Yitzchak Napcha says that no, actually Rabbi Yossi is referring strictly to our Mishnah. He's not referring back to the earlier case in the Perek. So in the brackets over here, had the Nosiv Eishes Gisev, had the Nosiv Arusas Gisev, Rashi says on this, Einodam Yochol Lahamida. Nobody can figure out what exactly that's supposed to mean. So we'll skip it. Yeah. So rather, the difference. Hagoyes Abach has a longer thing of it that the difference whether his brother-in-law was Orus, whether she and his brother-in-law had only done Erusin or actual Nisuin. That we would say that either way the Tanakhama would be saying that Leah becomes also to her husband and Rachel remains mutter to her husband. And Rabbi Yossi would be saying that there's a difference because there can be a t'nai in Eresim, there can't be a t'nai in Nisuin. Okay, we'll continue without that because the next piece, the part without the brackets, which Rashi prefers, is also understandable in much the same way. Hod Azli Arusosiv Yisoy. One case that Rabbi Yossi is talking about would be where Rachel was only his Arusa. So she and his brother-in-law went overseas, and you heard rumors that they were dead. The other one would be where Rachel was actually married to him. So one is where Rachel was Arusa, one is where she was Nesua. So not like the part in the brackets over here where we say the question is whether Leah was Arusa or Nesua to the brother-in-law, but rather whether Rachel, your own wife, was Arusa or Nesua to you. V'kama Tanakama, so therefore, let's understand the Mishnah as follows. The Tanakama is saying like this, Loishna Ishle V'gisei V'loishna Arusasa V'gisei. Doesn't matter whether Rachel was your Arusa or your full-fledged wife. Either way, Eishis Gisei Asiru V'ishte Shaya. Your brother-in-law's wife, Leah, is going to be also to him because she married without having two Edim that her husband was, without having two Edim that her husband was dead. V'kama Rabbi Yaisi, and Rabbi Yaisi says, no, Ishte V'gisei, there's a difference. When it's your wife and your brother-in-law, where then nobody's going to think that there was a t'nai in Nisurin, because we said the other day people don't do Nisurin al t'nai, so everybody knows for sure that you were married to Rachel. So therefore, when you go and marry Leah thinking that Rachel was dead, nobody's going to think, you're not passeling her, because nobody's going to think that it was a valid marriage. When Rachel comes back alive, everybody's going to realize you only married Leah based on a mistake. Because you were fully married to Rachel. Well, everybody knows you were fully married to Rachel. Nobody's going to think that there was a t'nai that didn't get fulfilled. We had this sort of a few times in the last few days. Because you can't make a t'nai in Nisuin.
Right.
Therefore Leah does not become possible to her husband. Everybody knows Rachel was married to you, and therefore nobody's going to think that Leah might have been legally married to you. Everybody knows you can't marry your wife's sister. So therefore Rachel's not possible to you either. On the other hand, but if Rachel was only an arusa to you, the ikla meimah t'nah havalei b'kedushin, where then people might think that there was a t'nai in the kedushin, and therefore people are going to think you really were married to Leah, and therefore you need a get from her, because we talked about earlier in the perek the idea, we discussed the idea, when do you need a get, when does this woman need a get from her supposed second husband, and when does she not? One svara that we brought up in this connection are people going to think that it was a valid marriage or not? So in our case over here, we would argue like this. If Avraham was fully married to Rachel, then later on when Rachel's missing and he goes and marries Leah, and then Rachel turns up, everybody knows that the marriage to Leah was based on a mistake. So we're not going to require him to give her a get. Nobody's going to think when he and Leah separate without a get, nobody's going to think, oh, you're allowed to dissolve a marriage without a get, because everybody's going to realize it wasn't a valid marriage in the first place. And everybody knows, when Rachel's alive, you can't marry Leah. But if you were only nis'arit, if you only did erusin with Rachel,
right,
the problem is people might think that you never actually did a proper erusin with Rachel, that you did a kedushin al t'nai, and the t'nai never took place. You made a kedushin al t'nai, for example, that I'm a kohen, and it turned out you're not a kohen or whatever. So therefore, people are going to think that you really were validly married to Leah. But because of that, we're going to make the gzera that you need to give Leah a get, so that people don't think that you can dissolve a marriage without a get. Yeah, okay. But nevertheless, so therefore, because you have to give Leah a get, that's part of what makes her usher to her husband. Therefore, Rachel becomes usher to you as well.
Because of the get.
Because you had to give Leah a get. Because she's a chos kurushase. Because now that you gave a get to Leah, then Rachel is going to be your divorcee sister, which is also. Yeah. So it comes out according to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha's explanation. Doesn't matter one aid or two aidim or any of that. It depends on the question: Are people going to think that you were legally married to Leah or not? So it's a difference of arus versus not arus. It's
not really.
No, because the whole thing of having to give her a get is only dirabanan. So, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rav Yaisi. Halacha is like Rav Yaisi. Now, which explanation of Rav Yaisi? That we're going to get to in a minute. Maskus Rav Yaisi, v'miyam Shmuel achi. Did Shmuel really say the halacha is like Rav Yaisi? V'ha'itmar, but we had a discussion as follows. Yivama, Rav Amar Harei Ke'eshes Ish. Rav says that a Yivama is like an Eshes Ish. What do we mean by that? We're going to explain in a minute. And Shmuel says, no. Ve'er Amar Rav Huna, what do we mean? What does this machloikus mean? Suppose that a brother was Makadish this woman, so Reuven was Makadish a woman, and he went overseas, and then it was heard, one aid came, that Reuven had died. But Amad Vanasas Ishtoi, and one of the other brothers goes and marries and does Yibum with the wife. We're then Rav Amaharika Ishis Ish. So Rav says she's considered like an Eishes Ish, even though they did Kiddush. Remember, the first brother had done Kiddush with her. And Rav says she's considered like an Eishes Ish.
Considered means with the first one?
No, when it was Kiddushin, then people are going to think there was a Tznai in the Kiddushin. So therefore, people are going to think that she was legally married to the second, that she was legally married to the second brother.
And they knew that she was.
Sorry. There's one detail I left out of here. What we mean is like this. So Reuben was Makadosh. Reuben went overseas. They heard that he died, so Shimon went into Yibum with her. Now Reuben shows back up. The question is she also to Reuben or not? So Rav says, given that Reuben was only Mekadesh her, then again, you have the same problem as before. People are going to think that it was a Kedushin al Tanai. People are going to think that Shimon was legally allowed to marry her. Really, he wasn't, because it was Kedushin and already she's Eishes Achiv, which is an error to him. But people are going to think that it was a valid marriage. Therefore, Shimon is going to have to divorce her. Therefore, she's going to be his brother's Grusha, which is Osir. And therefore, she's Osir to Reuben. Ushmul ma'enek Eishes Ish. Whereas Shmuel says she's not considered like an Eishes Ish, therefore she's allowed to return to her first husband. So what do we see by that? We see that Shmuel doesn't worry about this business of that people might think there was a Tanai or not. So therefore, how can we say the Gemara assumes at this point that when Shmuel says the halacha of Rabbi Yosi, he means like a bishchok nachal understanding of Rabbi Yosi. That there's a difference between Arusa and Nesua. We see from this case over here that Shmuel does not make that distinction between Arusa and Nesua. Amalei Abaye answers back. Umamai hachi amar Shmuel halacha of Rabbi Yosi. Umamai dechi amar Shmuel halacha of Rabbi Yosi. Ad Rabbi Yitzchok nachal kama. Who says when Shmuel said the halacha of Rabbi Yosi? Who said he meant according to the explanation of Rabbi Yitzchok Napcha, that it's a matter of Arusa versus Nesua? Maybe Shmuel meant that the halacha is like Rabbi Ami's understanding of Rabbi Yosi,
which is
that we said before that Rabbi Yosi is distinguishing between Eid Echad or Shnei Eidim, whether the sister-in-law Leah is Osir to her husband because there was only one Eid, or whether she's Mutter to her husband because there were two Eidim, and then in that case it's not relevant at all to this case that we just talked about the two brothers. According to Rabbi Ami's understanding, that machloikas of Rabbi Yosi and the Chachamim and the Mishnah has nothing to do with Shmuel's case over here. So there's no contradiction. And even if you say that when Shmuel says the halachas of Rabbi Yosi, he means Rabbi Yitzchok Napcha's understanding of Rabbi Yosi, that it's a matter of Arusa versus Nesua. Still, Mimai da Apostol, who says that Shmuel is talking about the case of, remember, Rabbi Yosi's statement had two parts. Rabbi Yosi said, any case where you're passing the other woman, you're also passing your own wife. Any case where you're not, then you're not. Maybe Shmuel would distinguish.
One with the other?
No, because we're saying two different cases. We said one aid versus two aid. Maybe Shmuel would be saying the halachas of Rabbi Yosi only in one of those cases, but not the other. Who says that he's saying the halachas of Rabbi Yosi even in the case where we're saying because Leah is possible, therefore Rachel is also possible? The Dumaine Posel. Maybe he's only talking about the case of Eine Posel. Maybe he only agrees with half of what Rabbi Yosi says. Inami, or a third possibility, Mimai de Isavud Rav Huna, who says Rav Huna's explanation of the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel is correct. You could understand the machlokes in a different way. Duma less a little Rav Huna klal. Maybe Rav Huna's explanation of Rav and Shmuel's machlokes. Remember, all Rav and Shmuel said, they didn't specify what they said. All they said is Rav said that a Yivama is like an Eishes Ish, and Shmuel said she's not like an Eishes Ish. There's a few different ways you could understand that. Maybe we could say that what Rav and Shmuel are really arguing about is Rav Hamnuna's statement. To Amar Rav Hamnuna, as we had before, Shemeres Yavam Shizin Sasur Livama, that we brought before the idea that a Shemeres Yavam who is Mizane becomes also Teru Yavam. where we would say that that's a machlokes. The Rav Amahareke Eshes Ish Mifsal Ubiznus. The Rav would say that a Yavama is considered like an Eshes Ish in the sense that if she's Mizana, while she's a Shemeres Yavam, she becomes also to the Yavam, just as if she was an Eshes Ish.
You saw that
previously. Yeah. Ushmul Eshes Ish Vole Mifsal Ubiznus. And Shmuel would say she's not like an Eshes Ish, she does not become Pasal Ubiznus. In other words, so therefore, that could be the meaning of the machlokes. Rav Amnuna had said a statement. Rav and Shmuel are arguing, is Rav Amnuna correct? So nothing to do with Rav Yossi in our Mishnah. The Inami, the Kedushin Tokes and Yavama can refer to you, or yet another possibility, the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel, whether Yavama is like an Eshes Ish, could be that they're discussing the question, would Kedushin be Tokes by her? If, while she's a Shemeres Yavam, we talked about the other day, if she's Niskadish to somebody else, to Yavama Lashuk, is the Kedushin Tefes or not? We discussed the other day the question, what does it mean, Lysia Eshes Hameis Achutza L'Ishzar? Is it a statement, is it an Isser, she's not allowed to, but if she does, the Kedushin Tefes, or is it a negation that it can't happen, Kedushin or not Tefes? And we said before, we said, Rav had held that it's a negation, that Kedushin or not Tefes, and Shmuel had said, we're not sure. Maybe that's what we mean over here. The Rav on Maharek Eishes Ish, meaning the Latafsiba Kedushin, Rav would say that a Shemeres Yavam is like an Eishes Ish in the sense that Kedushin are not Tefes, just like if you're Makadish, somebody who's already an Eishes Ish, Kedushin are not Chal. Or Shmuel on Maharek Eishes Ish, Latafsiba Kedushin, and Shmuel would say she's not like an Eishes Ish in the sense that Kedushin are Tefes. So that could be another meaning of the Machalikas. Again, nothing to do with our Mishnah. Well, on that last one, Vaharif Liguba Chadazimna. We already had that Machalikas, Rav and Shmuel. Why would they need to repeat the Machalikas again? The answer is called the Makalda Chavata Itmar. The Gemara says a few times, you have one was said by inference from the other. In other words, Rav and Shmuel had the Machalikas, and then the Amoraim discussed it in two different ways. Like you had one Amora said it one way, and the other one deduced from it a different way of stating the same Machalikas. But it would be essentially the same Machalikas, same discussion.
So the point is, we were asking
how could Shmuel say that halachas like Rabbi Yossi doesn't contradict this thing. So we said either Shmuel means the halacha is like a different explanation of Rabbi Yossi, or like only half of Rabbi Yitzchak Nachman's explanation of Rabbi Yossi, or Bechlal, the three possibilities, and have a machlokas of Rav and Shmuel has nothing at all to do with this whole business that we've been discussing. It's a completely different issue. Mishnah says, "Amru lei mesa ishtecha." If an aide comes and tells somebody your wife died, v'nasa achosa me'avia, and then he goes. We had this case, by the way, back in the Nuns. So let's find the diagram for it because it'll be a little bit complex. So he goes and marries her sister from her father's side. Where is that diagram? Dalid. Back in the Nuns, we discussed the idea. The Gemara had been discussing the idea where we know from Sukkim that when it comes to Arayas, both relatives on the father's side and relatives on the mother's side are both counted as relatives. That it brought this Mishnah in that connection. So here's the case over here. So they told Reuven, your wife died. He was originally married to Malka. So he went and married her sister from the father's side. Besuel had two daughters from two different marriages, Malka and Rivka. But now, thinking that Malka is dead, he went and married Rivka, who's her half-sister. Then Rivka died, or he thinks she died, and he went and married her sister from her mother's side, Sarah. So Keturah over here had also been married twice, once to Besuel, once to Chetzrin, and so these two sisters have the same mother but two different fathers. So you go through like that five times. And then it turns out that all five of these women are really alive. He thought that the first four were dead and therefore he married the fifth one. Now it turns out all five are alive. He's mutter to stay married to the first one, the third one, and the fifth one. Why? Because the second one is also to him. She's achos ishtoi from her father's side. The third one is mutter to him because she's no relation at all. She's no blood relation at all to the first one. They have different mothers and different fathers. Similarly, because the third one is legally married to him, the fourth one is not because they have the same father. And because of that, the fifth one is mutter. And again, the fifth one is mutter because, again, she's not a blood relation at all of any of the other ones, of any of the other ones who he's mutter to be married to. So he's allowed to stay married to the first, third, and fifth women. And those three, since they're all legally married to him, if he dies and they all come up for Yibum, then when one of them does Yibum or Chalitza, it passes all the other ones, the usual case, because they're all legally married to him. But also, he's also in the second and fourth women, because the second and fourth are half-sisters of ones that are legally married to him. The envious achas man pateras sarasa. And if he dies and somebody does Yibum with the second one, for example, Rivka, that won't pater any of the other ones because she's not legally married to him. Because she's also to him as a chalit ishtai. How about being bal ashnia la'acham misus harishayna? What if now, let's change the case a little bit. What if the first one, what if Malka really did die? Before it was he thought she was dead and so he married Rivka. Now it's she really did die. So then it's the other way around. So then, Mutter b'shniyo v'rabiyas, and it's the other way around. He's Mutter in Rivka, and he's Mutter in Yecheved, because again, those two are not sisters to each other at all, and he's Mutter in Rivka after Malka had died. But also, so he's Mutter in the second and the fourth, the poet was sort of saying, then those two are legally married to him, so if one of his brothers does Yibum with one of them, it passes the other. But also, b'shlishes v'chamishes, but he'd be also in the third and fifth, because they're the respective half-sisters of the second and fourth, then Bia Sachas man pateres sarasa, and Bia with one of them would not pass their tzara, because neither of them is legally married. Now the mission completely shifts gears to a whole other topic. Ben Teisha Shanim V'Yemechad. Now we've talked about before the idea that a katan beginning from 9 years old, bia of his is considered bia. It has an effect in halacha. But we said that when he does, he can't do chalitza, but he's able to do yibum. Rashi and Tosfos argue the issue whether if he does yibum, is it valid yibum min haTorah, but the Chachamim downgraded it to Maimer, or is it min haTorah, it's nothing, and the Chachamim upgraded it to Maimer, basically. Either way, the rule is, as Gemara is going to say, that the bia of a katan is the equivalent of Maimer by Yavama. So, ben teisha shanim v'yemechad, who posel ideach, and he can passel the Yavama to the other brothers. If he does bia with her, it's considered the equivalent of Maimer, so he passels her to the others. Conversely, the other brothers can passel her to him. We would assume it means we don't know yet whether by bia or maimer. The Gemara is going to discuss that. Ella, who posel, but the difference is who posel tchila. He can only passel her if he does his thing first. But the brothers can passel her if they do their thing, whether before or after his bia. Ketzad. Venteisha shanim yemechad shabal yibim. So a 9-year-old or older who has relations with his yivama, pasal ayachim, and he passels her to all the other brothers, because it's the equivalent of minor. But on the other hand, if any of the other brothers had relations with her, but also by Maimer, or they gave her Maimer, or nosnu get eichol to post the nayode, in any of those cases, they would passel her to him. Because any of the four things that they could do, since they're all gedolim, then they have an effect. Whereas he, the only one of these four things that he's legally able to do is bia. And even that's only considered like minor.
Not for really bia.
Right. So the Gemara starts off the case of the five women from the beginning of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah continues, when the middle of the Mishnah says, when the middle of the Mishnah says that Imbal Ashniel Acha Mrs. Arishana, that he had relations with the second woman after the first one died. The question is Atukulu Lav Acha Mrs. Arishana. No. I mean, the whole point was the first case of the Mishnah also was that it was after Malka had died that he married Rivka. Right, but in the first case of the Mishnah, he thought that Malka was dead, and then it turned out that she's alive. The second case of the Mishnah means where Malka really is dead, and therefore Badai, and therefore Rivka becomes mutter to him. Whereas the previous case was he thought Malka was dead, so he married Rivka, but then it turned out she's alive, so Rivka's also to him. The Mishnah had said, Venteisha Shanim V'chola. So the question is, what do you mean, Venteisha Shanim Yemecha T'chil Pasol B'Soif Le'Pasol? Are you telling me that the bia of the 9-year-old only passels her if it was done before any of the other brothers did anything, but not if afterwards? In other words, at this point, the Gemara is assuming that, let's say, for example, one of the other brothers did Maimer with her, and then this 9-year-old brother had bia with her. It sounds from the Mishnah like he doesn't passel her. The brother who did Maimer can continue with what he did. But that's not so. Because of Altani Rizvid Brit of Oshia, Ha'osa Maimer Bivim. So if one of the brothers does Maimer with the Yavama, Va'achakach Ba Achiv Shu Ben Testron of Mimachad Aleha, and then his brother, who's 9 years old, or anywhere from 9 till Bar Mitzvah, has relations with her, so then he passes her. So you see that you see, unlike the Mishnah is saying that who posted Tchila, that the Katan's action can only pass over if it's the first thing that was done, but here we see that even if it's after Maimer, it can also pass over after one of the other brothers Maimer. Amri, so they answered, no. What we mean is, the apostle afila b'saif. You're right. What the Mishnah means is as follows. The Katan's bia is going to passel her even if he does it afterwards, even if he does it after another brother's Maimer, as we said in the Braisa. But Maimer, tchila apostle b'saif like apostle. But if he does Maimer, that only passels at the beginning, but not at the end. Meaning, if one of the other brothers did Maimer to her, and then the 9-year-old also does Maimer, not actual Bia, which we're considering like Maimer, but just Maimer, he just does Kiddushin, then that has no effect. But if he did Bia, then yes, it would have effect. Question is, Bia feel the safe apostle? What do you mean? So Bia apostles are even, so Bia apostles even at the end? Barchatani, Elishu apostle, Tchila, Behen Tchila B'Saif. The Mishnah clearly said that he can only apostle her with his Bia if it's the first thing. The other brothers can pass her whether they do things first or second, and the Mishnah continued. Ketzad, how is that? So evidently, the Ketzad, the illustration of the Mishnah is explaining the previous statement that the Katan's Bia can only pass her at the beginning, and yet the Braisa had said that his Bia can pass her even if it was after the Maimer of one of the other brothers. The answer is Chasurim Machzor. The Mishnah is missing words. What the Mishnah means is as follows: Ben Teisha Shana V'Yem Echad Hu Poisel Tchila V'Hein Poisel Tchila V'Saif. So when the 9-year-old's action can passel her only at the beginning, their action can passel her either at the beginning or the end. But Medvar Mamurim B'Maimer. What kind of action are we talking about where his can only passel her if it's the first thing, only if it was Maimer?
What do you say the first thing?
First thing meaning, in other words, so Reuben died. Right after that, the 9-year-old brother, Yehuda, goes and does Maimer. Well, not right after that, whatever, before any of the other brothers did anything. He did Maimer, or he did Bia. We're saying she becomes apostle to all the other brothers. But if it was the other way around, if Shimon went and did Maimer with her, and then this little brother, Yehuda, went and did Maimer with her, nothing happens. She's still mutter to Shimon.
When he's first, it does.
Yeah, that's what we mean by Tchila. This is the part that's missing from the Mishnah that we have to interpolate. When is it talking about? By Maimer. That if the younger brother does Maimer after his older brother did Maimer, then nothing happens. But the 9-year-old Bia would make her possible even if it was after Maimer. Ketzad. Now the Ketzad would be illustrating this missing part that we left out of the Mishnah. That we said was left out of the Mishnah. Ketzad. Ben Testron of Yemechad Abal Yavim. The 9-year-old has relations with the Yavama, and he passels her to the other brothers, even if one of them had done Maimer first. So, if Reuben died, Yehuda, this little brother, does Maimer, we say he passels her to all the other ones. Also, if he does Bia, he passels her to the other ones. But, another case, if Shimon did Maimer to her, and then this little brother, Yehuda, does Bia, it also passels her to her. No, if he did Maimer, it wouldn't passel her, but if he does Bia, that does passel her to Shimon. Maimer is Kiddushi.
Like
Hiram Kadesh, so yeah. The Gemara asks, Vatanya ben Testron of Yem Echad, who posted the Dover Echad? Va'achan posted Ayodah, Va'abod Dvorim. But isn't there a bright, we have a Braisa, that another Braisa that says that the Katan, the 9-year-old, can only pass over in one way, presumably by Bia, whereas the other brothers can pass her to him in 4 different ways, with 4 different actions. Namely, who posted the Achad the Bia? He can only pass her to the other brothers with actual Bia, not Maimer. V'achan posted Ayodah Bia b'Maimer b'Get Chaitza. Whereas the other brothers, any of the 4 things they do, whether Bia or Get or Chalitza or Yibum or Maimer, will pass her to him. So you see that there's only one thing he can do, namely Bia. It sounds like his Maimer has no effect no matter when he does it. The answer is no. That what it means is Bia the Pasla Bain Batrila Bain Basif Psikale. The reason why the Braisa says that he can only pass over in one way, even though really he can pass over in 2 ways, by Bia or by Maimer, is because Bia Bia pasla ben betchila ben besayif, because Bia can pasla her whether it's the first thing or whether it followed one of the other brothers' maimer. Therefore, psikalei. Therefore, the braita takes it as a definite fact. Bia of the katan can always pasla her, no matter what.
Just Bia.
Yeah. Maimer to betchila pasla besayif, like pasla like psikalei, as opposed to maimer, it will only pasla her if it was the first thing. If it was after one of the other brothers' maimer, it will not pasla her. Therefore, like psikalei, it's not a definitive thing, and therefore the braita leaves it out. So when the Braisa says he passes her in one way, meaning there's one thing that he can do that's always going to pass her. There's another thing that he can do, namely Maimer, but that's only going to pass her in a certain scenario, if it was the first thing. It's Marnami, they said also, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amashmo, Yeshle Get, that the little brother also can pass her by giving her a get. Not just Bia and Maimer. Now we have a third possibility that he can also give her a get and pass her to the other brothers. At nine, and Rav Tachlifi Bar Avimi says also Maimer of his is effective. Tani Nami Hachi Yeshle Get and Yeshle Maimer Divrei Meir. So now we have three things that he could do. But again, the get or the Maimer would only pass her at the beginning. Question is the sovereign of Meir Yeshle Get. How could we say that a Meir holds that the cotton is able to give her a get? Vatanya, we learn in a Braisa, also Bia Spentesha Kamaimim Gadol. The Chachamim considered the Bia of the 9-year-old to be the equivalent of Maimer by a Gadol. Which that's what we said, I mentioned before, that the Rashi holds that it means that Midaraisa is really a valid Yibum, the Rabbanan downgraded it to Maimer. And according to Tosfos, it's the other way around, that the Midaraisa would be nothing, and the Chachamim upgraded it to Maimer. Anyway, the Braisa continues, Rav Meir and also Chalitza Spentesha could get the Gadol. Rav Meir says that the Chalitza of a 9-year-old, it's not a full-fledged Chalitza, because he has to be Ish, he has to be Bar Mitzvah, but the Chachamim considered it the equivalent of a get by a Gadol, meaning that it will pass over to the other brothers. So she'll need Chalitza from the other brothers, but she can't do Yivam with them anymore.
Like a get.
If the mayor holds that the cotton himself is able to give her a get, why does he have to say that the cotton chalitza is the equivalent of a gadol's get? Let him say the cotton's chalitza is the equivalent of the cotton's get, instead of having to drag in the gadol. The answer is Amar of Huna Bredia Bishua, Islay Vizutner. Yes, the mayor would say that the cotton is able to give a get, but it's weaker than the get of a gadol. In other words, meaning that it exists.
Right.
The zutter, but it's smaller. Yeah. Meaning, in other words, the mayor would. So the mayor can't say that the chalitza of a cotton is the equivalent of a get of a cotton, because according to him, the get of a cotton is weaker in its effect than the chalitza of the cotton. All he can say is that the chalitza of the cotton is the equivalent of a get of a gadol. That both of them possible only madrabah.
That's why he uses
the term gadol. And. What do we mean? It's weaker. Ludam Gamliel da'ama ein get ahaget. When Rabbi Gamliel, who holds, as we said in the fifth parak, that ein get ahaget, that if one brother gives you a get and the other brother gives you a get, the second get has no effect. Hani mila begadol achagadol akatan achakatan. That would only be if one brother over by mitzvah gives you a get and then a second one. The mayor would say the second one has no effect. The katan achakatan, or if both of them are katanim, same thing. Avagadol achakatan mahani. Whereas Rabbi Gamliel would say if the katan gives you a get and then the gadol gives you a get, the gadol's get is stronger. In the sense that we said before, the get has the effect besides the apostles or to the other brothers, that it does anyway, that the first get already did. But it also makes her also to marry any of his relatives. Just as if it was a get midaraisa. So Ram Gamliel, we would say, according to Ram Gamliel, that if the cotton gave her a get, that makes her, she's apostle to all the brothers, and she's also in any of the cotton's relatives. And when the gadol afterwards, when one of the brothers over by mitzvah also gives her a get, and that makes her, in addition, also to all his relatives as well. So in that sense, the cotton's get is weaker. And the Rabbanan, the Amr Yesh get ach get, according to the Rabbanan, we say it doesn't really matter. You can have one get after a get anyway. So in what sense is one stronger than the other one? Again, hani mila begadol ach gadol ebekotten ach gadol. Again, that would only be if both getten are on the same level. Both of them were given by gadolim, or both of them were given by tanim. But even the Rabbanan would agree, according to the mayor's understanding, even the Rabbanan would agree that if the gadol gave her a get, and then later on the cotton gave her a get, that cotton's get has no effect. She does not become also in the cotton's relatives, because the get of a cotton is weaker than the get of the gadol. So yes, the mayor would hold that the cotton can give a get, but that get has a weaker effect than the get of a gadol. But altogether, then, so far we're up to three ways that the Kohen can pass all the Yavama to all the other brothers. He can do Bia, which we said, Bein the Tchila, Bein the Soik, no matter when he does the Bia. Or he can do Get or Mimer at the beginning, before any of the Golem give it. And that's that. The fourth one also, Chalitza, would also have the same effect, that it would be considered like a Gadol's Get. Yeah.